Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Got an email link there. You can email me. Would like to hear from you. Let me know you're listening. Let me know that you're a lover of wisdom. And I'll feel that it's just nice to know that there are others out there that love wisdom, understanding, and the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, that don't have to be continually entertained and have the strings of their emotions continually harped upon to get through life and keep their attention. We're in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 16, so we'll just pick up here. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. So here we have another reference to surety and the character of those that are surety for a stranger. And there are people that will vouch just to make friends, just to, you know, get themselves in there and be friends with anyone they can, because that's where they find their identity. But take his garment. Be sure, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, because you can't. You have to have, well, let me see what our good friend Henry has to say about this. Perhaps he has a better way of putting it, because sometimes it's a little difficult to understand some of these things. I mean, how do you read this? Take his garment that is surety for a stranger. He says here, Henry says, two sorts of persons are here spoken of that are ruining their own estates and will be beggars shortly, and therefore not to be trusted with any good surety, security. Those that will be bound for anybody that will ask them. That's men pleasers. There you go. If anyone asks them, they'll be right there. Rather than, ponder, that entangle themselves with rash suretyship to oblige their idle companions. They will break at last. Nay, they cannot hold out long. These waste by wholesale. And he goes on, those that, here, the other one, secondly, those that are in league with abandoned women, that treat them and court them and keep company with them, they will be beggars in a little time. Never give them credit without good pledge. There, that's the gist. Never give them credit without good pledge. Strange women have strange ways of impoverishing men to enrich themselves. There you go. Many will try, but with a wise man, they will not prosper. There's no doubt about that. Okay, chapter 20 and verse 7. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. I could feel the gravel in my teeth. Just the illustration is so graphic. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man. And the reason it's sweet is because they're trying to sell you a line of gravel in your mouth. But afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. War is necessary. You know, the scripture says to everything under the heaven, there is a time. There is a time to go to war. Every purpose is established by counsel, but with good advice, make war. I'm in a nation where they've made war with bad advice. Well, they've really done it to enrich their people and further an agenda, basically, to enrich certain people. Those that have the agenda use those that are greedy for gain to get their agenda through by enriching them. They get their way. Thus is the state of the nation. Chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secreth. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Yes, so if someone starts flattering me, I'm going, what do you want? What are you really after? Because I know who I am. I don't need someone to tell me how great I am. I already know who I am and what I am. And if someone starts telling me how great I am when I know I ain't that great. Yes, it's time to start questioning. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secreth, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And then, you know, the wisdom here is that whoever's going around, they're flattering you while they're tearing down other people. You got to realize that when they get with those other people, they're going to be tearing you down while they flatter them. Because You know, people rarely are different around one person or one man than they are around another. You can usually count on people to be who they are. So if they're one way with you, they're flattering you, tearing down other people, it would be unwise for you to think, wow, this person really likes me. Wow. And, you know, it would be unwise for you to think when he gets around those other people that he's tearing down, that he's still going to be flattering you while he tears them down. No, he's going to be doing the same thing to them. He's going to be tearing you down while he flatters them. So, there you go. He that goes about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Someone comes around you, talebearing and flattering, well, you know, it's best to just keep your mouth shut and not say a word to them if you can't get away from them, or if you can't get them away from you. They'll leave you alone if you're not going to, you know, because the spirit of the talebearer is to open up your mouth and get you to reveal secrets too, so that they can have the goods and carry on their talebearing. But if they don't get it, then they'll stop coming around. If you rebuke them, they'll definitely stop coming around. Probably say worse things about you when they get to talebearing with other men. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. And not something that you would want to do. You know, we all have done... Some of us have done terrible things in our lives, some more terrible than others. And perhaps our mothers or our fathers have even done terrible things. And even if it would be better to keep your mouth shut than to curse your parents under any circumstance. And that's what I would take away from this, under any circumstance. So whoso curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. And it goes directly against the commandment to honor your father and your mother. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. And I knew a woman who got an inheritance from her grandparents, and, you know, $40,000-$50,000, something like that. Not a real big inheritance, but it's big if you've never had any amount of money in your life, and if you use it wisely, it can be good. But here we're talking about the end thereof shall not be blessed. An inheritance gotten hastily at the beginning. Eager to get it, eager to spend it, to squander it, and it's gone before you know it. You don't want to be hasty with an inheritance. And as a matter of fact, as we've discussed inheritance in the scripture, that there's a responsibility. Better figure out what the responsibility is that comes with that inheritance. And living in his kingdom, by his family, kingdom, government that he has for families, that to take care of the orphans and the widows and to provide for the times of want and need of others in your family is the responsibility of inheritance rather than just squandering it and ending up with nothing. And then in the time of want, you have nothing to give. You don't even have bread for your own mouth. But hey, we're in America, and you can squander everything, and at the end, you can count on socialist security to take care of you, right? Yes, indeed. The wisdom of the world, there it is. But I think there may come a time when the socialist security won't even be there. I don't see how it can go on. It can't go on. All Ponzi schemes fail sometime, don't they? They have to. You can only have... they can only hold out so long. The end thereof shall not be blessed. So you don't be hasty with an inheritance or with any large sum of money that you may come into. Say not, thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on Yahuwah. Wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. So if evil comes on you, if someone brings evil into your life, don't act hastily to recompense that evil. But just wait. I've had people do evil to me, repay me evil for good. And, you know, I mean, the emotion says, you know, reach out and strike and repay. But the Spirit of the Lord just says, wait. So I'm waiting. And I could say I'm still waiting. Okay. And it says, and he shall save thee. Okay, well, I'll take his salvation any day. Because a lot of time to act hastily, it can cost you a lot more than the evil that was just done to you. And sometimes it's better to do nothing. The price is too high to recompense evil. Diverse weights are an abomination unto Yahuwah, and a false balance is not good. And there it is again. I think this is probably at least a half a dozen, if not a dozen times, that our Heavenly Father, He hates a false balance. He hates diverse weights. These are things that He hates. And it's wisdom to understand this and never to use this. Never to use it. As a matter of fact, I walked into a local building supply, because I'm doing a little bit of building, and I bought 50 pieces of a certain part of the building. And 40 of them were shorter than 10, because 10 were longer. And the woman said to me, at the checkout, she said, you've got 50 of these. And she went, you know, she scanned 10 of them, because they came in bundles of 10. And she was going to go times 5. And I said, yes, I have 50, but 10 are longer than the others. And in that case, it would not have worked in my favor because she scanned the more expensive ones. I didn't notice which ones she scanned. But that would be to take advantage of a false measure if I had taken advantage. Many times it's been the other ways, and I've had other way, and I've had to correct them so that I would pay more, that I would pay what was right. But that would be to participate in a false measure, in a diverse weight. That would be, How would you put it? That would be constructively, on my part, I would be constructing a false weight and a diverse measure. So that's how you can apply it to your life. Oh yes, there we are. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man understand then his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. You know, this is, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? A statement and a question. And as we read through this, we see that greedy men, evil men, do things which they think they're going to prosper by. But it's not so. They may seem to gain to themselves. They may fill their house with treasures and, you know, stolen bread, so to speak. But man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Well, that's the statement is the understanding that though a man thinks he's going to prosper by doing evil, he doesn't, because man's goings are of the Lord. And a good man will be rewarded for the good that he does. So everything is in his hands. So how can a man then understand his own way? Well, it's by eating this word, you know, by dining on this book of wisdom. That's how we can understand our own way. How can a man then understand his way? By understanding that his goings are of Yahuwah, that whatever he does will be rewarded according to our Heavenly Father. Not according to what he sees or what he understands. Only if we understand the ways of our Heavenly Father, that we understand his wisdom, his judgment, his knowledge, and the fear of him, then we can understand our own way. If we understand that it is in his hand, that things are not always as they seem. Why do the rich prosper? Why are the innocent punished? How do we understand this? We understand it by understanding the word of our Heavenly Father. And, you know, that's a question that, you know, that's one of the major questions in life. Why are we here? You know, why do the innocent suffer? Well, they suffer because of sin. You know, I lost some critters yesterday and was kind of upset about it. And, upset enough that I didn't do a show. Plus, had to take care of some of the cleanup that comes along with losing your animals. And the question, why? You know, why did I lose those cute little babies? Why did I lose? And the conclusion is sin. basically sin. That's it. Why are there animals out there killing other animals? And I see that that came about because of sin. Because the scripture says that things will be restored, that the lion will lay down with the lamb. There will be none of that that came when sin entered into the world. That will all be abolished when sin exits the world, when it is cleansed. I believe that during the millennial reign of Christ, that when Christ comes and he abolishes all of the governments of man, all of the kingdoms of this world are abolished forever, so that no place is found for them, as prophesied by Daniel the prophet, when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the Mystery Babylon image. That's what I call it, the image of Mystery Babylon. That even during that time, the effects of sin will be here, because men will be dying and suffering and be able to fall in sin. That the effects of mortality will still be in the earth at that time, but not for those of us that enter into the first resurrection, that are ruling and reigning with him, because we will be like him when we see him. But there will be a demonstration of his kingdom, government, being in effect for 1,000 years, with him actually sitting on the throne as a king for that 1,000 years. And it'll be a glorious demonstration. But the effect of the demonstration will still be that even with that, that there will be men that will choose evil, because we see the end of that. And, well, if you want to understand that, you can go through my studies on Across the Border. Both of them are up there on Daniel and the Revelation. I suggest going through both of those, first through Daniel and then through the Revelation. But my understanding of those prophecies are there in those books. And that's a little more exciting, perhaps, than Proverbs for major portions of the prophetic parts of those books. But anyway, back to Proverbs, because we're going through the whole Word of God here, and that's really what my ministry is about. So many ministries you'll see that are just about this thing or that thing, or the focus on the family or things like that. But I'm about the whole Word of God, and that includes prophecy, and that includes family, and I think it may even be idolatry to focus too closely in on some thing that our Heavenly Father created, and to raise it up, I think, could be a form of idolatry. And so we have to be really careful there. That's why I love the whole Word of God, and that's what my ministry tends to, the whole Word of God, rather than a focus on a thing or any certain thing or aspect of life, all of these created things. Nothing is to be put before him. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Okay, so now where am I again? I need to spend more time get into a habit of marking the verse that I leave off on. Man's goings are of the Lord. Yes, I got pretty deep into that. I just found a lot there in that one verse. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of Yahuwah, of the Lord. How can a man understand his own way? It is a snare to a man, to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. This might do good to look into this one. Two things by which God is greatly affronted. Men are here said to be ensnared by, and entangled not only in guilt, but in trouble and ruin at length. Sacrilege. Men's alienating holy things and converting to them to their own use. Ooh, bad news, huh? And I see that on, yes. I would liken this to many of these preachers on the TV. I saw one guy on there asking for hundreds and $1,000 gifts, and God was going to give him back 100 times. The guy was good. I mean, you know, if I was ignorant, you know, of the word, I might even be ensnared by him. And this guy was so good, I almost felt like giving to him. But he was on the TV, and I could see through him, of course, because I've thoroughly devoured the Proverbs. And I mean, the water's deep in here. I've got a lot to draw on, so I could see right through it. But at the same time, I could see how good this man was, and I could see that how many people would listen to him. and be ensnared by him and this sacrilege. So I guess that's where we're going to have to pick up next time, Proverbs 20:25. I've got it marked. So join me next time across the border.